Coach, can you tell us about how the offense has started to gel as the season's approaching? Offensive line in particular.
We've obviously, in game week, after we put the two deep out, it kind of startled some of you guys. But, you know, we've been working with different combinations the first couple weeks. Feel really good about where things are. Moving Jermaine to tackle. And so he's had experience there over the course of camp. And as I said, we've got a number of pieces inside that, that can rotate and play. Eric McCoy went through spring and through fall camp. Did an excellent job with the grasp of the offense in the spring and has continued to get better. And then all of our young guys inside that have played a little bit for us, except for Colton Prater, but he was here as an early graduate in January. So, you know, we feel good about our depth inside. We feel good about Jermaine Illuminor being able to swing around all over the place because he's played guard, but has had an excellent fall camp at tackle. And, you know, if anything, I think, you know, we've got a pretty good gauge for where our tackles are right now just because of who they're going against in fall camp. So, that gives us a pretty good feeling with, you know, the way we feel about where we are in our defensive front. So I'm not saying we're tearing those guys up, but to hold your own on the edges with our two ends and pass protection has been a good thing to see. Not to say that they've blocked them every time, but I hope our ends don't get blocked every time against the opponents. So, you know, we feel good about where that is. I think as Trevor has continued to get more comfortable with what we're doing, I think you saw the difference. Maybe you didn't, but between practice one, sorry about that. I guess you guys didn't. Between practice one in the spring and the spring game, he was very, very efficient in the spring game, and then he's continued to get better and gel with our receivers and understand what we're trying to do. So feel good about where we are right now, and just like everybody else, I think our guys are anxious to play this Saturday.
Go to the left, Cease.
Kevin, you're 7-1 in these season openers, some of the marquee games. What do you feel has been your approach? Are you able to have success in these type of games?
I don't know. I just, you know, it's what we do. So we got to figure out what's going on in the back half, I guess. And we've spent a lot of time, Cease, in the offseason talking about, you know, what we're doing well and what we're not doing well. And to try to stay ahead of the curve, as I say every year, on what we do well. And then address some things on the back end. So, yeah, this is – what is this? We played, what, three ranked opponents in the first game? So our guys are used to it. Our coaches are used to it. So, you know, that's just where we are right now. And I think a few years ago, fans were clamoring about opening weekend and how boring things were earlier. I don't think they can be upset about this weekend. There's some great football games, and we're really fortunate to be one of those games right in the middle of the day in prime time on CBS. They're 2:30 games, so from really 11 something in the morning till what is that last kickoff, 9 o'clock or something like that. There's a bunch of great college football games to start the season, and I think. Not only is that what the fans want, I think it's great for the game. It's great for our fans, but it's great for college football.
Go down front, Brent, and then Sam.
Back when we were recruiting Armani Watts out of Forney, what was it that stood out about him that you said you wanted him on your team? And also, you know, and talk about his progress over the years as one of your best defenders.
Yeah, Armani was always a physical guy, always a really, really good football player, really instinctive. He's got really good ball skills, too. So he was a guy that was just a really good high school football player. You know, he has always been, you know, kind of a guy that would play both ways and could do a lot of different things. So I think that's helped him. You know, his freshman year, a guy who starts, and you got to remember, we're at South Carolina, and that's a pretty hostile environment. And it was, speaking of hot, it was 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon. It was first game on the SEC network, and he made some plays in that game that were unfreshman-like, that I think everybody can remember. And, you know, he went through that season, and really he hit the wall at against Arkansas. Missed some tackles, did some things, you know, that it just lost confidence. And we actually had to – we actually sat him down, benched him for a little bit his freshman year just because of lack of confidence, just some things that as a freshman he's not used to. He wasn't used to the preparation involved in going throughout a football season. I think what you've seen him do is grow physically. I think he's grown mentally and matured as a young man and as a player, and now has, you know, blossomed into one of the better players in the league. And even though the preseason SEC team didn't reflect that for any of the safeties. So, you know, he's a guy that's a tackler. He's a guy that is a pass defender. He's a guy that's a leader on our defense. And I think if you go back and you watch him play on special teams, you know, he's a very, very unselfish player. And he's a kickoff cover guy. Whenever we want punt coverage or kickoff coverage, he'll jump in there and do what he needs to do. And I think that says a lot more about him as an overall player than it does about him as a specific player on defense.
Down front here, Sam.
Kevin, you guys are 1-6 at home against top 25 teams. Why is that?
That's a good question. If I knew, we wouldn't be 1-6.
Is that something throughout the offseason, you know, when you guys have had downtime that you guys have looked into? Because I know on the road or away from home, you guys are 8-5 against top 25 teams.
Why is that?
That's why I'm asking you. It's your job to figure that out.
Yeah, it is. So we'll see if we figured it out or not this year.
But has this something you spent time on trying to examine and figure out?
No, it's something that we spend time on all our opponents. All right, some of our guys are ranked, some of them aren't ranked. Depends on when we play them. So we beat ranked opponents, and sometimes right after we beat them, they're not ranked anymore. That's amazing how that happens too. So you know, it's all timing. And we want to have a better record. We need to have a better record at home. I think, you know, last year was really the first time that we've been situated in a solid situation. We've been moving locker rooms and doing a lot of things over the last couple of years. And that's not an excuse. That's just the way it is. So, you know, being settled in a stadium finished and guys being in one place for a solid year, I think that will help. But certainly our approach at home we've done some things to change that up, so we'll see.
Go to the left, Zach, and then over to the right, Gabe.
Coach, I think you've addressed this before, but what's your relationship like with Jim Mora?
I think, you know, Jim and I are pretty good friends. I think, you know, he's a guy that I can call or did call, and those are tough phone calls, you know, particularly when Noel was involved. Because in college football, it's not like anywhere else. It's just a common courtesy. You don't have to call there's no legal deal where you got to call the other head coach when you want to talk to one of their guys. It's just, that's a courtesy. So that was a tough phone call, but he called back. And I think his relationship with Noel is well documented too. Jim's an excellent football coach. It's interesting, we came into these two programs about the same time. We got just about the same record going into year five, and you know, it's going to be a heck of a game Saturday. So he's been successful wherever he's been. There's a reason for that. Their team will be well coached. They've got excellent athletes across the board, and you know, just like us, they're looking to take that next step and move up a little bit in what the perception is of the program.
Go to the right, Gabe, and then Ben right next to him.
Coach, with Donovan Wilson being able to gain the weight necessary to play closer to the box, how do you get him on the field when you also want to play three natural linebackers? And could we see him playing corner this weekend?
Is that what you want? No. We want to play three linebackers, or you want to play three linebackers?
I'm saying when you do.
Well, we'll see Saturday.
Okay, we'll go to the back. Lee.
Hey, Coach, since Coach Mazzoni back here, Coach.
Yeah, it's to the back and then Ben.
Just let me know. There's a lot of people and lights up here. I can't see.
Yeah, I'm in the worst spot with all the lights, I think. Since Coach Mazzoni has familiarity with UCLA, how, if at all, do you think that will affect the game this Saturday?
None.
All right. I'll tell you why. Okay.
Yeah, great.
If anything, so does Jim Moore's got familiarity with Noel. And so if there's any advantage, I would give it to UCLA because they've got a new coordinator that has no – we don't have anything on him. We don't have a book. We don't have a tendency. We don't have anything on him. So I don't think – to answer your question, I don't think that's going to have any bearing on the game, the relationship.
Go to the right, Ben.
Coach, whenever – I guess earlier during the SEC media days, you had mentioned that people said Armani having so many tackles last year was a bad thing, and he said it was kind of 50-50. Are you hoping that he has fewer tackles this year? I mean,
I hope he makes every tackle he can make. I'm not going to put a number on how many tackles Armani's going to make because he's going to play safety. He's going to play up in the box. We're going to move things around. So, you know, I don't want him to miss tackles. So if you're asking me, do I need to put a number on the tackles?
No, I'm not asking for a number. Okay. Is it kind of a – I'm basically asking, is it a bad thing if your leading tackler is your safety?
It can be. Depends on how you play defense. It really does.
Go to the front, left, Rob.
Coach, can you talk about the three young men that you put on scholarship this
week? Who's
this?
All right.
To the left, I'm sorry.
Can you talk about the three young men that you put on scholarship this week?
Yeah, I think, you know, every year since we've been here, we've been fortunate enough to, you know, have guys that besides the 12th man that we look for. We've got a great walk-on program here. I think it's really important to have that because we are the home of the 12th man. We've got a number of guys that come out and try out for our team, and there's a process there. Then we kind of weed those guys out, and then they go through practice, and then some guys, as you know, have found their way to the field and had real impacts. And I think the scholarship piece is really validation to them that they belong and can contribute. You know, you look at the guys that we put on scholarship, you know, the couple days ago, all three of them are going to contribute. All three of them are going to have a role on this football team that is a playing role, whether it's playing tight end or H-back, whether it's covering kicks, or whether it's punting or kicking the ball. And so those are critical areas, and all three young men have gone through the practice, have been here for a couple years and established themselves as role players, or scout team players, moved their way up, gone through the summertime workouts. And I think what's important, too, is, you know, it's a little bit different. You know, football has become a year-round sport. All of our guys who are on scholarship stay here all summer and are on a four-day-a-week lifting program, 3 days a week throwing 7-on-7 and doing those things. And the guys who are paying their own way are now doing that with summer school, too. That is a heck of a sacrifice, and not having a job and not doing this, try to work a job and get things done. So, you know, for those guys to put in that kind of work, go through everything, pay their own way, and realize what happened the other day is great for them, is great for our team. And every year, you know, you see not just the happiness or the jubilation from the individuals who got the scholarship, but how much the other guys are happy for them. And to me, that says a lot about that whole process, that they really do respect and understand what these guys are going through, and don't take for granted, you know, the thousands of dollars that these guys are spending for tuition and how lucky, you know. I think it gives our other guys, too, a sense of, hey, look, this is, you know, we're really fortunate to be in the situation we're in. So we're happy for those guys, and I think you're going to see, not I think, you're going to see all three of them play Saturday.
Coach, we'll go very back again to the lights. Colin.
Hey, Coach, you kind of brought it up, but who is replacing Sam Miller as the 12th man this year?
We'll announce that Friday.
Maybe Friday evening, so don't go early. To the right there, Daryl.
Yeah, we're going to let him know Friday night before we let you guys know. Is that all right?
Coach, we've seen you guys in practice, and you're very up-tempo.
will what we see on Saturday be up-tempo like we saw your first year here? Will it be faster, something similar?
As far as what? Number of plays or what?
Yeah, just how quickly you guys are going to try to snap the football and get up to the line of scrimmage and move things along, because I don't think that you were as quick. You weren't that as quick last year as you were your first year.
Didn't seem like it, did it? I think if you go back and look at the play count, you'll be shocked. Anyway, you know, we're moving at a tempo. We're going to be able to change tempos. We're going to change speeds. So we've got the ability to go fast. We've got the ability to slow it down. So we're going to go with the tempo that we feel comfortable with. And in a first game, you know, we'll see where that is. If we're comfortable with that and where Trevor is and, we're practicing. It's easier to slow down than it is to speed up. So we've practiced really quickly. And if we got to back off of it, we'll be able to do that. But, you know, you can't just turn things up on game day and have not practiced that. And so, you know, what you've seen out there is a attempt to really practice at that speed so that we can, as every offense wants to dictate the tempo. Now, whatever that tempo is, whatever you're comfortable with, and so we'll find out where we are this weekend.
We'll finish up here with Brent. We've got Coach Chavis waiting in the wings.
I'd imagine Trevor has been maybe everything you anticipated over 9 months. Is there anything that's been maybe a pleasant surprise about his leadership going into his first game with A&M?
No, Brent, I've talked about it since he's first got here. The big part was how he entered the situation, you know, as a guy that was outside and then came into and became a teammate first. So, you know, that's a special skill set, I think, that guys have that can come into that and do that in a locker room and really get a feel for what leadership's about, and then, you know, create the friendships that he's created in a short period of time with guys in his room, with Jake and all these guys, and then the guys in the locker room. So, you know, if there's one thing that has really, you never really know, in the recruiting process or in the overall process, is how a guy is going to gel with everybody else, you know, and how he's going to, you can help that, but you really don't know how that works. And so that, I think, really helped his growth and helped his team's growth and helped the offense growth. So, you know, that was, I wouldn't say a surprise, but I think that was an added plus that he brought.